Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. All right, well, welcome, Pastor Kim. Amen. How many of y'all were here last Wednesday night? Okay, did y'all learn anything, receive anything last Wednesday night? So you took a chance of coming back tonight, so we appreciate that. Again, this month, April in America is the Financial Literacy Month. Way back in 2004 when George W. Bush was president, he helped, through Congress, push this month into fruition, where there have been some things on a smaller scale where they were trying to push throughout America financial literacy, because it's a serious issue in our nation where people don't understand finances. And yet the whole world, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that money answers all things, right? Y'all ever read that? In Ecclesiastes, I think it's chapter 10, where it says money answers all things. So, you know, a lot of times in church, we don't like to talk about money. The world doesn't like the church to talk about money. Religious church doesn't like the church to talk about money. But yet Jesus talked more about money and financial issues than he talked about any other subject in his 3.5 years of ministry. Jesus talked more about heaven, about hell, than he talked about heaven. Yet nobody wants to talk about hell ever. But he talked more about financial dealings than any other subject in his entire ministry. In fact, when he launched his ministry in Luke 4, verse 18, you remember what he said? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. In other words, the poor were the first people group that he knew he had to deal with. Are y'all following this? And so there's much too much poverty in the church. And I know it's quiet. In the book of Deuteronomy, I think it is chapter 15, the Bible said, if there be any poor among you, here's do this, so on and so forth. But he said, there should be no poor among you. So God's full expectation of his people is that there should be no poor people among his people. In other words, God expects that his people be prosperous because we have to be the ones to reach out and take care of others who don't know him. Right? And so, yet there's so much poverty in the body of Christ. We know it's in the world. Amen. But again, very few people have advanced knowledge of financial dealings. And what I'm finding is that many people don't even have a basic knowledge of financial dealings. So we wanted to take this month to address that last Wednesday, tonight, and I think that's it, because we have our faith meeting next week. Praise God. So we want to kind of dig into it tonight and kind of move expeditiously tonight. Amen. In Luke 16, verse 8, let's read that together. Luke 16 and verse 8, New King James Version. Y'all have it? Y'all have it? Okay, let's read together. Ready, go. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt
shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light.
All right, now remember that King James, instead of the word shrewd, uses what? Wise. So it says they are wiser. The sons of this world, that means the heathen, the unsaved, they are wiser than the children of in this generation, than the sons of the light. Now, if you go to the verses before verse 8 and the verses after verse 8, you get the context and you understand he's talking about dealing in finances. You got it? So when he's talking about this verse, and I don't have time to read the whole thing, you can read it on your own time. So this more shrewd or this wiser is about dealing in the area of finances, right? So that word wiser, we gave that word in the Greek last week, phronimos, which means intelligent, wise, prudent, mindful of one's interests. Intelligent, wise, prudent. Okay? The Bible says over in Proverbs 22, I think is verse 3, that the prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. So, and remember, Proverbs 22 is all about finances. Y'all, right? Y'all listening?
Yes.
Okay. Proverbs 22 is all about finances. So when it says the prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. He's talking about the man prudent in finances. He foresees evil. He foresees economic storms. He foresees challenges, and he hides himself or he protects himself. But the simple, stupid, foolish pass on and are punished. They end up being destroyed because of their poverty. They go through problems that they didn't have to go through if they would have only been more prudent, more wise, more shrewd in handling their financial dealings. So what happens is the church so often today we're going through hardships that we shouldn't go through. Because let me tell you something. There are some people who go and they are buying full-size SUVs in this time. And they know what price gas is. And they're not even moved by it. They're buying full-size SUVs. They're buying RVs. They're buying jets. Come on now. And they know the price of gas too. But they're not moved by it. My point is, because they've positioned themselves, they've hidden themselves. So these things don't move them. Okay? And that's where the body of Christ should be. But we position ourselves where these things no longer move us. Now, I'm just going to testify. Because some of these things I feel. I know y'all ain't. I don't feel that. Come on, tell the truth. You feel some of this stuff. Your grocery bill has changed and you feel it. The light bill has changed and you feel it, right? Water bill, everything changes. Insurance and all these things, they've changed. The cost of rent and mortgages, it's changed. And so you feel it. But there are people who are still, you drive through my neighborhood, people are renovating houses, putting in new landscaping, putting in pools, and I'm saying, what in the world? Somebody's got some money somewhere and it's floating around here. Okay? So God wants us to position ourselves. Luke 16, verse 8 in the Voice translation. Listen to how it reads. It says, when the manager's boss, this is the same verse we read, realized what he had done, he congratulated him for at least being clever. That's how it is. Those attuned to this evil age are more clever in dealing with their affairs than the enlightened are in dealing with their affairs. Okay? So they're more clever. So being clever is not bad. Remember when Jesus talked about us going out there and winning the loss? He said, I'm sending you out there as sheep among wolves, lambs among wolves. He says, therefore be wise as serpents. Jesus telling you to be shrewd like a snake. Y'all, you're missing that. Y'all, Jesus is encouraging snake-like behavior. Be shrewd. Know how to move. Know how to maneuver. Know how to escape. Know how to sneak up on. No, he's telling us be like a snake. Therefore, be wise, shrewd as a serpent, yet harmless as doves, right? And so being shrewd is supposed to be an attribute for the believer. Being wise is supposed to be an attribute of the believer. And yet we're most times the most illiterate when it comes to finances. Amen. And God wants us to change that. Amen. So what Pastor Kim and I are dealing with is four basic components of wealth building. And again, here's a caveat. We are not financial planners. We're not wealth managers. We are not tax advisors. We have tax advisors in here. We have people who do wealth management, all that kind of stuff. We're not them. We know Bible teaching. Amen. So we're not trying to give you that advance. You need the basics, right? Most of us aren't ready for that advance yet. And I'm telling you, as pastors, a lot of people I know who should be here hearing these teachings. Y'all ain't got to say anything. I can say it. I'm a pastor. They should be here. They need to be here receiving these teachings. Because they've proven they're not shrewd in the basics. Okay? So we want to make sure we fix that. Right. So four basic components of wealth building: income, interest, investments, insurance. We covered last week income, right? Right. We need to produce, I need to produce a basic income. Everybody say, I need to produce income.
I need to produce income.
Say it again, I need to produce income.
I need to produce income.
Our command, be fruitful and multiply. Now, you don't need to keep having children. Y'all done with that? Anybody here done with that? Okay. But you do need to keep generating something. You don't need to generate physical children, but you need to generate from your resources that you have. Generate, producing income. I was praying the other day, Monday. I was out walking, and I was praying, and I was just asking the Lord about some things, just, you know, some needs that we have and things we believe in God for. And I began to repent to the Lord as I was praying. That's what happens when you pray in the Spirit. He'll help you to repent. Am I right about it? And I began to repent for not capitalizing on my resources. I was asking God for resources, but he had me begin to repent about not capitalizing on my resources. What resources? My time, my talents, my skills, my giftings, my wisdom, my experience, my expertise. These are all resources that every one of us have. And many times we're believing God, I need more money, I need more income. And God said, I've already put everything in you. You need to do that. I'll give you power, right? We gave you that scripture last week, Deuteronomy 8:18. I give you power to get wealth. I've already put some experience, some expertise, some skills, some knowledge, some talent, some gifting, a craft, whatever you have. I've given you something that you can use to produce income. Some of those things we call hobbies aren't meant for hobbies. They're meant for your increase. Are y'all hear what I'm saying to you? And so I need to produce income. I need to produce income. So again, the question that we have to ask is, how am I stewarding my resources, my human resources? How am I stewarding my human resources? Am I really maximizing my time? Am I really maximizing my experience? Some of you are sitting on some experience that you could use to become a consultant. Man, y'all are quiet right there. You can use to become a consultant for other people, other businesses. There are things you know. Okay, you have resources, okay? So the question we asked again last week, again, was what does it take to be me or us each month? So that's what you got to ask yourself when talking about income. What does it take to be you? You know what your house requires. Right. Everybody's house is not the same. Some people might only need 2 bedrooms. Some people might need 5 bedrooms. Some people might only need, you know, 1 car. Some people might need 3 cars. We don't judge anybody on what you need. Where you are, you know what you need.
Right.
Amen. My God shall supply all your need. Right? Your need. It's individual. So, but you know, God gives us the ability to produce income. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now let's get into the next section because we got to maximize our time here tonight. All right. So not only must we produce income, the next part is interest. So I need to prioritize saving. I need to prioritize savings. Okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. I need to prioritize savings. Am I talking to Christians here tonight? So y'all know I'm not talking about ahead of your tithes and offerings and all that kind of, you know that. But don't get deep on me tonight. Let's talk real. We know we're tithing. We know we're giving. We know we're all that kind of stuff, partnering and missions and helping the poor. We know we're doing all that kind of stuff. But we shouldn't prioritize spending. And many people you find have made a priority of spending. And then when they need something, they don't have it.
Right.
There's an old phrase that I coined this years ago, is that so many people, they buy what they want and have to beg for what they need. Deke said, say it again. I'm going to say it again. So many people buy what they want and end up having to beg for what they need. That's backwards, right? Okay, so I got to prioritize saving. Now, the reason we're going to do that is so that we can begin to draw some interest and be ready to invest. Now, because we're talking about other parts in this, okay? But if you don't have any savings, you're not going to have anything to draw interest on or to invest. Okay? Pastor Kim, can you go to Proverbs 21:20 and read that for us?
Proverbs 21:20 says this, that there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it.
All right? Y'all have heard that scripture before? Yep. Let's look at it in the Good News Translation, the Good News Translation. Let's read it together. Ready? Read.
In wealth and luxury, but stupid people spend
what kind of people?
Stupid people.
What kind of people?
Stupid people.
Do what?
Spend their money as fast as they get it.
That's not me. This is a Good News
That's
Translation.
The Bible.
I'm not calling anybody stupid. This is what how the Good News Translation, how they put it. Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. So without calling anybody stupid, I want to say it is stupid to spend money as fast as you get it. Many times you have the people who they file their rapid refund anticipation loan in December. Trying to get tax money early. And they before they get it, they've already got their plans on how they're going to spend it all.
Come on, man of God.
Thousands of dollars. They never think, wait a minute, how can I take this thousand and make it do something?
Can we, since we're talking the basics, explain why that's bad? It's bad because you're giving Jackson
why
Hewitt.
What is bad?
Why a RAL is
okay,
bad.
Right.
It's because you're giving interest, you're giving them money to get money that's going to come to you. If you would just be patient and possess your soul. So you're like taking a loan. No, I'm not in debt. Yes, that's a loan that's until right. They receive the check from the government and then they get their cut. Then they cut you a check for the balance. So you're borrowing money when you can't wait to February to right. get your tax return, right. okay?
Right, and it costs you.
It costs you.
Right up front.
But we don't read that part because all we, you know, see is I'm going to get this amount of money. Stop long enough and ask them, how much money are you taking from me so that I can get this money before January?
Right. Okay. And when you do that, generally, and I say you, I'm talking about people in general. I'm not picking on anybody. When people do that, it's because they already have in their mind what they're about to go spend this on. So this isn't Pastor John. This is Good News Translation. That person is stupid. Okay? We don't want to be stupid.
No.
Proverbs 12:1 says he that hates correction is stupid. So God's bringing us correction. So don't be stupid twice. Don't be stupid, okay? So let's let God correct us. Listen, all of us have had to go through this correction. Listen, I spent so many years being stupid, I regret. I mean, I'm just like, Lord, mercy, how long was I stupid? This stupid? You know, and so I've had to learn things so I'm not stupid anymore, right? Okay, give me that same verse in the Living Bible. The Living Bible. Ready? Read. The wise man
saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets.
Okay, so don't spend whatever you get. So you need to set aside a certain portion of your income for savings. In fact, my children will tell you I've taught them from the time they could first start getting any kind of money, I taught them a system called TS3. I made it up. But it was TS3. Tithe, sow, save, spend. Some of y'all saying like y'all heard me tell it. Y'all, okay. So you tithe because my children have always tithe because that's how we taught them, right? And then you sow. Sow meaning that you're going to invest money in something, whether it's in the kingdom or secular investments, and you can do both. Y'all quiet, we should do both. Save, that means you put something, you know, and financial planners call it paying yourself first. You put money away for yourself. This is honoring the scripture here, so you don't spend everything. And then the last thing on your mind.
That's the last thing.
I said the last thing on your mind is spending. And if you do it that way, you will have money. All of my children have money. They all have money. I'm going to make them start paying for these meals. They all have money. He said, well, that's just because that's because, you know, they live with you. You live with somebody too.
And you ain't got no money.
And you don't have no money. I know plenty of young people live with people that don't have any money. Because they've had a spend first mindset. And all you gotta do is switch it. If you just switch it and said, I'm gonna put away every check, $20, just every check. Just start there. Just start. You may not be able to afford to put away, hey, half your check. Just $20 every check. Just start there. See, if you start, God will work with you. If you just start and make a commitment, God will work with you. When he sees you making movement, he'll start moving with you. I'm guaranteeing you that'll happen. Amen? Mita, make sure they have microphones because people ask questions here, okay? Now, let's look at this. So I need to prioritize savings, and I'm going to give you three reasons why, okay? One, savings protect you from financial emergencies. Savings protect you from financial emergencies. Y'all got that? Mm-hmm. Everybody know what a financial emergency is, right? Your tire blows out.
Right.
Your roof starts leaking. Right? Well, I don't talk about roof because a lot of people don't own their own homes. But your tire blows out. Or your child has a field trip. That's the thing. A field trip. And they need $20. How many of y'all ever had them field trips that was $20 or $10 and you couldn't go? You had to sit with all the kids. Come on, tell the truth. Ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. It happened to every one of us. Not all the field trips were free. Right? So there are financial emergencies that come, things that happen that you were not planning for. Nobody plans. That's why it's an emergent situation. Nobody plans on it. But if you don't have any savings, it catches you off guard. And now guess what you do? Debt. You borrow. You go get a payday loan. AmScot thrives in the urban community. Right? You run and you get they used to have title loans. They still have those around here? They still have title loans? And do you know title loans, they were running people 300% interest on title loans? 300. The government had to step in to place laws to stop that from being, people were getting ripped off 300% loans on title loans.
So if we could just...
And I'm not picking on anybody, because no. I lost a car to a title loan. So listen.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. So what is interest? You know, because I don't want to assume that people understand interest. Interest is like, it works two ways. Either you're receiving it, right? You got money in an account. The account is paying you 0.5% interest. That's like at the end of the month or whatever the cycle is. There'll be a little dividend paid in you because you let the bank use your money. Well, interest also is what you're paying to use somebody else's money. And so I just want to make sure it's like a convenience. Well, I don't even call it a convenience fee. It's a fee for me, you not having enough and me helping you out. So it's interest. So no matter if you borrow from anybody in that world, there is interest attached. What we're not paying attention to is how much interest we're actually paying. So you can't even get to savings if all of your money is going out. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
The money's got to start coming in. So pastor's trying to get us to the place where, okay, we now have a disciplined mind and we are putting away whatever it is that you can. Now, that $20 will mean nothing if every month I'm paying out $400 just because I can't control my spending. So like he's saying, the first thing that has to happen is we've got to get our spending under control. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't get the spending under control, you're going to have to go get those $20. So you'll never get to the place where the interest actually even means anything, because in a traditional savings account, because we have a couple different ways we save, the traditional savings account, you're talking maybe at the end when they pay out dividends, you got $1.12. Like, what's $1.12? Nothing. Mm-hmm. But if you look at your credit card statement, your car note statement, your loan statement, and you see how much money you gave away just to be able to have that convenience because we couldn't wait, then you'll start to say, wait a minute, okay, I've got to flip this. I've got to now start earning interest.
All right.
As opposed to paying out interest. Mm-hmm. And everybody's paying interest. So the better your name is in the world, the less interest you're paying. What do you mean? That's your credit score. And I know we're faith people and like, I ain't going to plan on borrowing out. Oh, it matters. Because your car insurance could be $500,000. I'm just being ludicrous. Or it can be $100,000. It's all based on how you've handled your spending and your discipline when it comes to your finances.
Yeah, I don't care how much faith you have and you say, I don't need credit scores. Your credit score matters when you're renting. Your credit score matters when you're getting insurance. Your credit score matters sometimes when you're getting a job. Your credit score is everything. So let's throw that out about my credit score doesn't matter. It absolutely does. Okay, your credit score is your reputation. It tells people whether they can trust you. All right. So, again, we want to have savings because it protects us from financial emergency. Let me give you a couple of scriptures for that. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 12. Read it with me. Ready? Read. So is money a defense?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yes, now, wisdom is better than money, but money is a defense. Money will protect you. So let's not be deep and wonderful and act like that's not true. Money is a protection. Okay? Proverbs 10, verse 15. Proverbs 10, verse 15. Write it down and let's read it together. Ready? Read. Read it again. So strong city means it's a fortress, a protected, a defensed, a walled city. And it says for the rich man, his wealth is his protection. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. So in other words, the poor don't have anything to withstand these financial storms. Is this right or not? So I know, no, God is my defense. Yeah, we know God is our defense, baby, but God... The Holy Ghost inspired Solomon to write this. To put it in natural terms, that when you have wealth, wealth gives you some sort of defense. So don't look at wealth as being bad or negative. Wealth obviously is a positive. And wealth, I'm not talking about you being a multimillionaire. We're talking about the rich man's money or your money. We just remember that's why we read Ecclesiastes first. So your money gives you protection. But if you've spent it all, and all of a sudden your tire blows out, you got to go sell that Louis. You know what I'm saying? Or well, whatever it is, the bling bling, ching ching, whatever we got. Or you know, you went to Europe on a worldwide wind trip or whatever. That ain't gonna help you when now all of a sudden your engine's blown in your car. I'm just telling you, it's not going to help you. And so we have to make sure that we have built a defense. And your savings gives you defense. Now, what do the other parts say? The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Now, remember what I said. If you don't have any savings and an emergent situation happens, what happens? You go and you borrow. How many of y'all have done it? You've done it. All right, good. So I'm not by myself. You've done the AmScot thing. I've done the title loan thing. I remember I had an old beat up Toyota Corolla and I went and got a title loan on that thing, man. And I just didn't make the payments for some reason. And they came while I was working at the barbershop and just came and got my, yeah. And I knew they were coming too. I was nervous. I was nervous, man. My hands were shaking when I remember that because every time I saw a tow truck driving by, I'm like, oh, that's them. Seriously. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating the least bit. Any of ever had a car repossessed? Tell the truth. This ain't nothing like that, boy. That's a.
I
ain't
never stopped. I was that.
Yeah. Now, so you don't want to borrow. Look at what happens in Proverbs 22, verse 7. Proverbs 22, verse 7. Yes. Write this one down. This is the series of scriptures. Next verse, ready, read. The rich. And what? The borrower is servant to the lender. Now, Pastor Kim mentioned something here a moment ago. Either you're going to be earning interest or you're going to be paying interest. So if you don't have savings, it pushes you into borrowing. And now as a borrower, you become a servant to the lender, right? So then Proverbs 22, verse 7 in the Passion Translation. Let's read that together. Ready, go. So when we borrow money with interest, we end up serving the interests of the creditors. Are y'all okay? Everybody okay? Okay? Some of y'all look stunned. You look like, oh, Lord. We're here to help you. We're here to learn. We're here to shift our minds together. Okay? We have been there. We have been there. Okay? And I'm telling you, there's some of you is just little small adjustments. Some of you is a major adjustment. But whatever it takes to get our lives financial on the right track, we've got to do it. Because there's a storm out on the ocean. And it's moving this old way. Okay? And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely slip away. Right? All right. So save and protect you from financial emergencies. The second thing about savings is that savings produce more income. Savings, if we handle them properly, it will produce more income. This is talking about now earning interest. Okay? So I talk about high-yield savings accounts, CDs, money market accounts, IRAs, right? This is just, I'm not talking about investment yet. I'm talking about just taking your money and putting it in a place where it can earn interest. Okay?
An easy way to do that, too, is if you're working on a job that offers some sort of retirement plan. I know faith people don't want to hear it. But one day you're not going to want to work. Put the money in the 401k, the 403b, whatever it is. Put it away. Especially if you know you're not disciplined enough to save it yourself. That's an easy way to hedge yourself in against stuff that's happening. You allow them to take it pre-tax, right? It's not taxed unless you don't touch it. But we've got to become, we got to be wise. So if that's a vehicle that your job is offering, and I don't know if they do matching anymore, probably not, but when I was working.
Anybody's job still doing any kind of matching? What percent?
Six? God. When I started working.
It used to be 100%.
I was 2-for-1. Essilor was giving 2-for-1. That was way back in the day. But up to 6%. Wow. So you have to do that.
Are you talking about the dollar amount can arrange for it?
Well, you can match. Some companies will match up to 6% to what you contribute to.
Yeah, right.
But then they may match 25% of what you put in. Some even match 50% of what you put in.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so
sorry, I have a microphone.
So if that's an option for you, do it. It's because I think what we're not realizing is we're trying to figure out how Rachel in the other cubicle just bought a house. And you and Rachel are working the same job. How did Rachel have a down payment for a house? How did Rachel do that? Well, Rachel's dad told her from the moment she got her first little kind of corporate job was to stuff money in there. And then when you leave that job, you don't take it. You roll that over into the next plan and you keep it. So now when Rachel marries Bob and Rachel and Bob want to go buy a house, they now take that money out of that savings, right? And they use it as their down. So that these are the little things where out there. Now, you're saying get a mortgage. I'm not saying get a mortgage. I'm just explaining to you so you can stop going to work being mad. Why their lifestyle looks a little different. Yeah. Why their retirement life looks different than grandma's retirement life. You know, why there are people in Westminster on the water.
The retirement.
Assisted living facility. Why they're living like that at the end. And why some people.
The sun is hot.
there's a difference.
Now, to be technical, the 401k IRA, what she's talking about, is investment. That's not savings. That's investment. Yeah, because they're taking the money and investing it for you. Okay? But it's a multiplication, though. It's not just straight savings. It's not just straight interest. It's a different level. They're taking that and investing it into mutual funds and getting a whole. Well, but even conservative, that's still an investment. That's not just savings. Your companies do offer savings plans, though. Like, how many of y'all your company offers something called an HSA? It's your health savings account. That's just straight savings. That's not investment. They're saying they're holding it for you to give you a defense. So if some kind of catastrophic things happen, or for your deductibles for medical care, we got it. So your companies do both. They offer savings and investment vehicles, right? Everybody okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
I ain't never talked about that. That's because you don't pay attention when they have those meetings.
Go to the meetings.
And if they don't have them, go to HR and ask them. Call them. Say, hey, we need a meeting. I have my one-on-one meeting with you. Okay? Now, Luke 19:23. Give me Luke 19:23 very quickly, please. New King James Version. This is a story with the parable of the 10 minas with the 10 servants. Let's read Luke 19:23 together. Ready? Go. Now, this parable is about, again, a man who leaves. He leaves 10 servants with 10 minas, one apiece. And he comes back and he asks them to give an account now of how they've earned, right? How they've handled the money. It's about money. And he tells this guy who, when he came, he said, here, I have your mina. I had it folded in a handkerchief. I put it in a coffee can. I stuffed it under the mattress in an envelope. I'm talking about your grandmama now. I'm talking about some of y'all. I stuff it away. I hid it. All right? And then you go donate the mattress to Goodwill and somebody find your grandma money. Right? And so he said, well, the master didn't say, well, that was good. That, you know, at least you kept it in a handkerchief for me. You kept it safe. He said, no, why didn't you put it in the bank? So Jesus is teaching on banking. He said that at least in my coming, I might have collected it with interest. So Jesus is teaching that there's something at least, at the very least, you should have earned interest on my money. Y'all got it? Now, how many of y'all put money in savings or in the bank or whatever? And I'm not talking about your checking account because your checking account don't make you any interest. Most people. I found some checking accounts that offer interest. Very few. But mostly you have to put it in a savings, money market type of account, right? Okay. I looked today, bankrate.com, BANKRATE. Bankrate.com, the highest interest rate, high yield savings interest rate I found today was 5.25% if you have no minimum balance. That means you can start with $20, $10, open an account, and they're going to pay 5.25%. Your bank is not paying 5.25%. Your bank is not paying 0.5%. Your bank is not paying 0.5%. That's what Pastor Kim said. You end up and I made $1.12 for the whole year. No, you don't want that. Now, you can keep money in your savings at your local bank that you can get to it. You walk in the bank and get it. But online, there are companies that are offering high yield savings account. Everybody say high yield savings account. High yield means high return. And they're offering some 5.6%, 6.67, but they had like $500 minimums to put in there. And if you don't have that you don't qualify. Right. But you can start with $1 and start making 5.25. So let me just do the math. If you had, I'll just use something around like $1 million. How many of y'all would love to have $1 million? Okay. Now, most people would take $1 million and say, boy, if I got $1 million, I'm going to go buy me a house. Stupid. Because that same million you could put in a high yield savings account, and every year it'll make you $50,000 every year. And you still and just use the $50,000 every year and never touch your million. That means you'd have a million in perpetuity. Mind blown. You'd have a million in perpetuity. In other words, you'd have the million, your kids would have the million, their kids would have the million, and everybody live off the $50,000. Which that equates to about $4,270-something a month. You could, if you wanted to mortgage a house, or you could rent a house, whatever, that's your payment. And you never touch your million. That's the power of interest. We're not even talking about compoundage. We're not even talking about investment. I'm talking about this simple interest. This is not your money being risked, you know, risking some business and some investment. This is just simple interest because I don't know if y'all know how banking works. For every dollar you put in the bank can loan $9 out. So your money doesn't stay in the bank. Your money's not in your bank. There's no money in the bank. Okay, for every dollar you put in the bank, they can loan out $9 because somebody's getting a mortgage, somebody's buying a boat, somebody's building a building. They're loaning out $9 for every dollar you put in there. So what they're going to do is to thank you for letting them use your money to make more money, they'll pay you interest. That's how money works. Got it? So when you can find a place, and I'm not going to recommend any. My wife and I are part of one. I've got several people in the church in part of one, but I'm not going to recommend anything because I don't want y'all to think I'm trying to get anything over on you. Do your own research, bankrate.com, and they're going to list multiple banks all over America that offer this kind of interest rate. Choose one. Choose one. Well, how do I get my money? Well, what I do, I take our income. And many months, I'll take our income and I'll deposit it in that high interest account and let it sit. Then when my bills are due, I slide it over to my regular checking account and pay my bills. So at least for those days, because you're earning interest every single day. That's why Cash App wants you to take money back and forth through Cash App, because they're earning the interest on it every single day. Of millions of people, they're earning interest. Why is Cash App free? They don't care nothing about you, your charges. They're making the interest off of our money. I love Cash App. I thank God for Cash App. Ching, ching. When I hear that ding, ding on my phone, well, that's praise the Lord. That y'all know that cash register sound they give you? But as long as it stays in Cash App's system, in their environment, they are earning interest on it every single day. Are you following what I'm saying?
And now they're lending.
Now you can get $25 a day and pay us over 4 months. I'm like, $25. I got an offer the other day. I'm up to $150. You can get $150 and pay us over 4 months from Cash App. Are y'all crazy? But if you've used up all your money Uber eating it and not been frugal, Don preached this morning about being frugal. He preached about frugality, the benefits, the rewards of being frugal. And people don't want to be frugal. People want to be fancy. They want to flodge and floss and flaw like they got it going on. There are ones who pretend to be rich and have nothing, and those who pretend to be poor and have riches. So God would much rather you and me pretend to be poor so we can actually accumulate riches. Okay, last thing about that. Savings position you to give, invest, or spend as God leads. Savings position you to give, invest, or spend as God leads. So when you have, how many of y'all ever heard us talk about accumulation, right? Apostle Durbin came 3 years ago and talked about accumulation bowl and accumulating. And we started doing it as a church. My wife and I started doing it immediately. We do it to this day. We do accumulation. And what that accumulation is, the first thing it did for me was all of a sudden I wasn't broke. I looked over and I had $5. Praise the Lord. Because that's what we were at that time when he was teaching us to have $5 in our pocket together was a miracle. with four kids. So I don't want to hear about you being, I don't know, Pastor, what I'm talking about. Child, please. To have $5 to our name was a miracle. But when we started obeying what the man of God taught us to do and start doing what the scriptures, disciplining our souls, all of a sudden we look over, oh, it's $5 over there. Praise God. Now, I couldn't buy a car off that, but it was $5. Then you looked up later and it's $7 over there. Praise God. It's $10 over there. And you kept going. And I got to the point where I started, we started off all of our change. Then we started all of our $1 bills. And then we started all of our $5 bills. Now we had to work up to that. Where you use cash and you take your money, your change, and you put it aside and don't touch it. What it does, it naturally restricts your spending. You never become a fool spending at all. And all of a sudden you look over and, hey, that's $5. That's $20. I remember one time I took my whole family on vacation off of $5 bills. I'm serious. The whole family went on vacation off the $5 bill. I get them all up, bundle them up, take them to the bank. You know, I don't take $5 on vacation. You know, a whole bunch of. They got a bunch of nickel sacks. They're nickel sacks. I knew it. No, but it took the $5, trade them in, and now I got cash. And we helped buy a car. We did. Yeah, a car we bought for somebody with $5 bills.
Oh, that was the second one.
That was the second one?
Yeah, we did a Lexus car too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So that's two cars we gave away. Bought and gave away off $5 bills. Well, with the Lexus car, we went half on the car. But the other car, for another person, we bought it outright off just putting away those $5 bills. It's a training that your brain gets rewired. And you just have to force yourself to do it. So saving positions you to give. And that's what we were doing. We were giving to invest or spend. So notice what I put, give, invest, or spend as God leads. So God, you have to allow God to tell you to do either one.
Right.
When you accumulate, he may tell you, okay, I want you to give that. Now, if God tells you to give something, it's because he has something in mind he's going to give back to you. So don't ever resist that. If God tells you to invest something because he knows what's ahead.
Right.
He's trying to hedge you in against the days ahead. Or if God tells you to spend something, he's trying to break a barrier in your soul.
That's it.
Y'all didn't say anything. God will also tell you to spend something. You have to let God tell you to spend. Don't just spend because you want to spend, but let God tell you to spend because he's trying to break a barrier in your soul. I can't spend $100 on a pair of shoes. Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. He don't care about how much you pay for shoes. What he's caring about is the barrier that $100 has on your spirit.
There it is.
Are you following what I'm saying to you? That containing spirit.
Right.
So he will often tell you to do he'll always tell you to do one of the three. Right?
You know, and I think about, you know, when we use the accumulation bowl, for us, there's never that feast time anxiety, sowing anxiety. And we don't have that.
Right.
Because of the accumulation. When Passover, whatever comes, count them up.
We got it. Count them up.
If we would just discipline ourselves, the plan works, but it's getting this soul to accept mm-hmm. the fact that God knows more than we know.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, that you're not as smart as you think. Because a lot of times we think, well, I can do this because I know how to. No, you're not that smart. The devil is, he has a lot of time on his hand to think about how to trick us out of our stuff. And he has educated a lot of people in the world on how to trick us out of our stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? They're coming. Y'all, I mean, think about, this is water.
It is water.
This is water all day long. But you know, they've come up with a million ways to take money from us with water. The kids were telling me about a trend on I guess TikTok where people are making their water of the day and they're doing all sorts of fancy things to make water more water. But at the end of the day, it's just water. So there's a wisdom out there, right? That's figuring out how to pull money away from us. So we've got to use these things that the man of God has taught us, our apostle, our bishop, our pastor, whatever they've taught us, whatever they said, we've got to use us because that's how we stay the hand of the
overcome
enemy.
The world.
This wisdom will put a hedge around. You know what I'm saying.
That's right. That's right. Before service, Deacon Mack was asking Pastor, you anything? And I said, yeah, I need some water. And he said, you're cold, a room temperature. This is room temperature. He said, well, he must have said something like, what color, which color? Which one you want? I was like, I don't care, just water.
You want the flavor lemon water?
Just as long as water inside. I don't care what color the bottle is. And the big water. I just said, yeah, big water. I don't care what, just water. I don't, but again, there's all these kind of things that the devil has out there just to get us caught up in the stupidest things. I mean, how many water flasks can you buy? It's just water. It's just water. Okay, let me keep going here. All right, so I told you, number one, I need to produce produce income. Number two, prioritize saving. Y'all are doing good, class. Number three, I need to procure investments. Obtain, acquire investments. Okay? Now, let's go back to a scripture here real quick. Luke 19. And remember we read here Luke 19, 23?
Yes, sir.
Anybody remember we just read Luke 19, 23? Give me my money with interest. Okay, let's go back a little bit. Luke 19, verse 13. Let's go to the parable. Mm-hmm. Luke 19, verse 13. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered them to them what?
10 minas.
And said to them, do what?
Do business till I come.
King James used the word occupy. New King James properly translates it as do business because that's what this word occupy technically means here. It means do business. And we know this because if you continue to read the rest of the parable, it describes what he wanted him to do. Okay? Go to verse 15, please. Verse 15. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money, right? To be called to him that he might know how much every man had gained by. So we know the do business was about them trading. Y'all got this? So here's a mina each, one mina per person. Now I want you to go out there and trade. Trade. Now this trade is not talking about stock, although we'll mention that here. But this trading is about doing business. What trade are you in? Or what kind of merchandising are you doing? Y'all got it? In fact, that word trading, let me stop here real quick. That word trading comes from a Greek word that I'm not going to pronounce. Dear pragmatai, am I? Which means, it means to undertake a business for sake of gain. To undertake what? A business for sake of gain. That's why, properly translated, it is do business till I come. So when he said, go out there, do business till I come. So then he comes and says, now give an account. He wants to know, what did you do with this mina? What business did you enterprise, did you take upon yourself to get gain? Are y'all hearing this? So whatever I give you, whatever resource I give you, financial resource or human resource I give you, I expect you to go out there and do business with it to get gain. Hello, somebody. Okay, go back to the scripture, Luke 19, go to verse 15, we'll pick up there, all right? So see what every man had gained by trading. Verse 16, keep going, 16. Then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. So this guy went out and did some big business, all right? And then watch the response. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over what? And the second came saying, Master, your mina has earned
five minas.
He did big business, but he didn't do as much as the other guy. But likewise, he said to him, you also be over five cities. Okay, what verse? That was verse 19. Okay, so again, the expectation was they go out there and do business. They gain something from doing this business. Y'all got it? Okay. So these are all investments. Investments. How do you take what you have and make it into something more? That's what God expects. from every one of us. Y'all got it? So everybody say interest and investments. Now remember, there's another IN word called inflation. What we're fighting against is inflation. Inflation is running at a clip I gave you last week of about 3.2% over the last 12 months. That means prices are increasing just that much. Now, Pastor Kim read a stat she saw yesterday, I think it was, the day before, that housing prices have increased with just rent 30% since 2020. How many of y'all know that's true for yourself? Housing prices have gone up 30% since 2020. That's rent has gone up 30% since 2020. Because housing prices, let me just tell you something. The house we live in right now, just throwing this stat out. The house we live in right now, when we first moved in there, the value was about $480. Today, it's $850. I'm sorry, today is $900,000. Now, it's not our house. So I'm not trying to brag because we don't own the house. So I'm not trying to make you look at us like we something. It's not our house. I'm just telling you, that's in 10 years... how that is doubled. Okay? Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? So we're fighting against something called inflation. So if I keep spending my money, I have nothing against inflation. And if I only put my money in a high yield savings account, I get 5.5% interest and I'm thinking I'm doing good. I'm barely touching inflation. That's why you need another component called investment. Because investments will always, if you properly invest, outpace inflation. Okay? So remember the man who came back and said, I kept your little money and I brought it back. And he said, why do you at least put it in the bank and get interest off of it? At least get interest. But the other guys who they invested and they made huge returns, he said, well done. Are y'all catching this here? So notice we have to shift our mindset off of spending. What we're conditioned to spend on is someone else's investment. Are you catching that? All right. Proverbs 31:16. Pastor, this is your script. Pastor Kim, your scripture. Proverbs 31:16. Yeah.
Okay. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard.
Now, y'all know this is what we call the virtuous woman.
Right.
Proverbs 31 woman. She considers a field and buys it from her profits. What profits? She's already in business. Right, selling sashes and all the things she's doing. She's already in business making money. Well, rather than just take that money and just go blow it on a cruise, she says, no, I consider the field. Like, that field looks like a good investment.
Because we're after land.
She considers a field and then she buys it. And then it says, from her profits, she plants a vineyard. What is a vineyard going to do? It's going to produce more. It's going to produce more. So notice, she is commended as being this virtuous woman. So the expectation is that every one of us should be considering something and saying, I wonder, is that a good investment? Everywhere we're looking, is that a good investment? And if it is, buy it. Buy it and use the profits to help you make more money. Because your job's not going to do it. I said your job's not going to do it. Let me keep going. Y'all not excited about that. I don't have time to read all these scriptures. I had all the scriptures about King Solomon, 1 Kings 10. If you read through 1 Kings 10, you read all about Solomon's business interests. He wasn't just wise. He used that wisdom to do great business. He sent merchants out everywhere. They were bringing in apes and horses and monkeys and gold and silver. The Bible says he made silver like dust. Silver is like nothing because he brought in gold everywhere. He traded. He bought. He imported and exported chariots. I mean, you just read about Solomon's business acumen. He wasn't just a smart guy. Writing all these proverbs. He was doing big business. And it's okay to do business. It's okay. It's okay to sell paper clips.
It's okay. My God.
It's okay to do something because your job's not going to do it. And if we go to work and then go home the rest of the day and sleep, that's not going to do it. You're going to be on that job till the day you
never
attained anything. Y'all got it?
Yes.
Let me read a couple more things. Ecclesiastes 11, verse. No, I don't have time to read all that. No, that's a lot of scripture. Give me Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. But read your